O'clock. Welcome into the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville Overtime. Brandon Orrick alongside Tanner Carson, Lucas Panzeca. We got Mason Taylor in here as well. On this Thursday, the day after Valentine's Day, did you all have a nice evening following the show last night on Valentine's Day?
Just went home, watched some basketball. It's a lovely evening.
I forgot to talk about this yesterday. I had every intention of talking about this yesterday, and I forgot about it.
And that is?
Valentine candy. Chocolates are okay, okay. But the stupid little hearts that have the little messages on them, who wants those?
I am not a fan. I don't know anybody who is a fan.
It's like eating chalk.
I hated remember back in elementary school on Valentine's Day, when everybody would get a Valentine, and usually, you know, there'd be some candy passed out, and some of the Valentines that you pass out would have a little bit of candy in them, too, and you'd get those hearts. Yeah, they were terrible. I never wanted to eat them.
They have the stupidest messages on them. They don't even taste good. It's like eating chalk. And this is the most popular candy out there. The stupid hearts. I feel like Lucas is a guy who likes the hearts.
I don't really care for the hearts. I definitely don't hate Valentine's. I don't have some kind of vendetta against Valentine's Day like you do.
I don't have a vendetta against
Valentine's Day. Everything you've said about Valentine's has just been filled with sheer hate.
You started.
Hey. We've been doing this show for a while now, and I can tell there's
whoa,
hate
whoa,
in
whoa.
Your voice
I can tell, too. Brandon, you started off this program yesterday just trashing the idea of just.
Well, I was tired. I was here till midnight
so
on Tuesday.
So take it out on us. I see how it is.
I'm sorry. I have nothing against Valentine's Day. I like the chocolates. I like the Hershey's Pot of Gold. You can't beat it. But the Valentine's hearts, no. Get out of here. They're terrible.
They're not great.
I have nothing against Valentine's Day, though. But it's a new day.
I don't think I've had the Valentine's hearts since... like grade school when you pass out Valentine's.
Good. Nobody should. Nobody should ever be forced to eat those. They should eradicate them. Delete them from the face of the earth. But it's a new day. Thursday. A day where Tennessee has a new running backs coach. Chris Winkie. Tinky Winkie. Hired as Robert Gillespie's replacement. This was kind of the name that you had heard most. So not really a lot of surprise. A lot of people kind of thought that this would where it would go. But
this is the only name you heard, really.
Yeah, you
for like legitimate. I mean, people threw out Jay Graham, but this was the only name I think Pruitt even considered. Something about Winkie. Pruitt wants Winkie on the staff.
Yeah, you could tell he wanted him so bad by the immediacy in which this spot was filled.
And remember, he tried to make it happen in December. You had all that stuff come that Winkie was coming in. You didn't know what he was going to coach. Assumed it would probably
be... it's going to be an analyst.
Whether it was an analyst role or coaching coordinator. Winkie wants an on-field role, obviously. Like any coach, he wants to move up. He wants to be a coordinator, head coach someday. But if Winkie came to Tennessee, I don't think he'd leave an Alabama analyst role for a Tennessee analyst role. I think he'd only come to Tennessee for an on-field position. And I don't know what happened in December. That move was almost official. And then it fell through. And then with the departure of Gillespie, I mean, Pruitt wasted no time. He wants Winkie on this staff.
Yeah, that was another thought that I had. Pruitt moved pretty quickly. I think this was the name he had in mind. I hope this is kind of what you see with future moves that he might have to make with the staff. Kind of move pretty quick. Instead of a long, drawn-out process.
It feels like that's kind of been the case with every position on this staff, on-field position at least, besides with the wide receivers. Feels like Pruitt's gone out and mostly gotten his guy. You know Scherer was his guy. I mean, they've known each other for a long time from their Hoover days and their Georgia days. You know Will Friend was his guy on the O-line. They were roommates at Alabama. Tyson Helton kind of came out of nowhere, but hire happened pretty quickly. Seems like every position on his staff, he went and got his guy. David Johnson looked like Pruitt was going to wait to see what happened with Brian McClendon at South Carolina. He got promoted over there, so he brought in David Johnson. Good hire. But other than that, he's pretty much gone out and gotten the guy he wants.
Do you think that there might be some shuffling around of responsibilities on the staff? Do you have any concern with Winkie coaching running backs? I know we talked about that a little bit yesterday, but
no, not initially right now. I'm going to have to see what the on-field product looks like as far as the running backs are concerned. And unless like you see Todd Chandler take like a step back, we saw that he was capable of some big things in the playing time that he was able to get. Unless like he's not able to do anything and you really just see a pretty mediocre running back core, then I'm going to be concerned about, you know, what's the actual coaching like from Winkie to the running backs. Until I see that, no, I'm not that concerned. I'm going to be more concerned about what he's going to bring to the table in recruiting.
If it wasn't for the urgency that Pruitt had in going to get Winkie, then I'd probably be a little bit concerned if you kind of loot somehow, something happens, a bust up with Gillespie, and you don't really have anyone else to turn to and you go for Winkie. But no, Pruitt wanted Gillespie out and Winkie in. So for that, there's not really much concern. We'll see what happens in terms of developing the running backs. But I think the biggest reason he wanted this guy on his staff is the recruiting connections. I mean, number one, he's a Heisman-winning quarterback, national championship-winning quarterback, and he was a backup on that Panthers team that went to the Super Bowl in 2004. So he has experience at a championship level on all level of football, but his 5 years at IMG Academy, I think that's really the one thing that Pruitt brought him on for, is that direct connection to IMG Academy where Winkie was the head coach.
Yeah, I get that, and I'm not trying to, because I think that plays into, I think that has something to do with it too, but he's not been there in 4 years.
Right.
He's not been there since 2014.
Well, no, but
yeah, but those connections really aren't right. going to die unless he burns bridges.
I'm just bringing the point up.
Right, I understand.
I mean, this staff, you've got connections all over the place. From Tyson, I mean, Tyson Helton's been everywhere. David Johnson has coached multiple high schools in Louisiana. You obviously don't have to worry about the connection with high schools in Alabama because Pruitt Share, a couple of the guys in this staff have bounced around high schools there before they got to the college ranks. He's trying to connect all the dots here. I think that's what the Winkie hire is for. That IMG Academy connection, that place pumps out some pretty good recruits. And Winkie, although you don't really know his background with running backs, he's never been a running backs coach, he's put out some pretty good players from IMG Academy. I mean, Cam Newton was a guy at IMG. I mean, who am I missing? There's Ryan Tannehill, Russell Wilson. These are all quarterbacks, obviously, but he's a developer of talent, and I feel like when you're a good coach, you can coach any position.
I agree. I brought up possibly moving around some roles on the staff. I feel like that could happen. I don't know if it will. I feel like Winkie could slide over to receivers and
Johnson
slide over to running backs.
Johnson, I can definitely see
where
that.
He has experience.
Johnson's coached running backs at Tulane. He coached running backs and tight ends at Tulane from 2012 to 2015. So,
and
he does have experience with coaching running backs there.
Winkie's also an IMG alum, too. So you've got that connection as well as him being the head coach. And you pointed out all those quarterbacks he developed there. Bo Scarborough was IMG product, too, under Winkie. And Scarborough obviously continued to work with Winkie this past season at Alabama. So, I mean, we'll see what happens if they shuffle it around, but I don't think they will shuffle it around. I think he brought David Johnson on to be the wide receivers coach with the work he did with Anthony Miller at Memphis this past season. And I think Winkie's just a guy who's going to be able to coach any position on the field. When you're an analyst at Alabama, you're not on the field. You're not talking and coaching to the players. You're just an X's and O's guy. You're just another voice in the meeting room giving your opinion on schemes and game plans. So that makes me think that he can scheme with any position. He should be able to coach any position just based on his experience actually coaching on the field.
Chris Winkie.
How odd is that, that he is going to be in orange and white? I get it. It's been a while since he's been at Florida State, but I mean,
he wasn't the starter, right, in 1998?
He was. He was injured. He wasn't the starter for the title game.
He didn't play in the game.
That was Outzen. That was the Rooster. And right. They talked about on the drive earlier about how a lot of Florida State fans claim that if Winkie started that national title game, it might have went a little different. But no, he.
Well, in that case, it would probably be a little bit awkward, but he didn't.
No, I mean, it just for me, just considering just weird that he's going to be on the staff now, just for the fact that anytime I think of him, I'll always automatically associate him with Florida State, associate him winning the Heisman Trophy in 2000, being part of that great Bowden era down there. I don't know.
Well, a lot of people with Pruitt pretty much just associate him with Alabama, right?
This is true. I mean, the coaches on the staff definitely have been around winning programs. Now it's like, okay, you got your expertise, you've been around all these programs now, put it all together and make this place one of those.
Yeah, Winky's just another guy on the staff now with the ring. I mean, I guess that's not really something you can complain about. He's gotten one as a player and as an analyst.
He's got that Heisman, too, like I said.
Anytime you can walk a Heisman winner to a recruit's house. Pretty good bonus.
I wonder how much that's going to help, though, seeing as, I mean, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
It's now been, oh, Lord, it's been 18 years since he won the Heisman. It's crazy. You don't think 2000 was that long ago?
I have a question. I've been thinking about this past couple days.
Get it off your chest. Let's hear it.
When Pruitt goes up against Alabama.
Yes.
And you have the whole Saban undefeated against his proteges. Does Pruitt count as a Saban protege?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like he shouldn't.
Why not?
Why not?
Well, he did. Okay, never mind. I was thinking.
I was going to say, he was on Saban's first staff in 07.
Okay.
Yeah. He's definitely a protege.
But even if he wasn't,
he's still considered a Saban protege. Any assistant that worked under Saban and becomes a head coach and has to play him.
You have to go up against
gonna,
that record that nobody's
that
beat him.
It's going to add to that number.
Kirby came oh so close in becoming that first assistant. Oh so close. Nobody's taken down the master yet.
Saban's like a brutal dictator, crushing all who try to rise up against him. Even the underlings, they try to rise up, seize power. He shakes the finger like Dikembe Mutombo.
All dictators lose power eventually.
Some just can't do it anymore. I feel like that's the case with Saban. He's not going to be taken down. He will go down when he wants to.
Surely he wants to retire soon. Spend some. What years he has left
with Miss Terry?
With Miss Terry out on his lake house,
listening to the Rolling Stones, eating Little Debbie's, living the simple life, just owning some Mercedes Benz dealerships, just kicking back.
I don't think he wants any of that.
You don't know. You don't know.
No, I don't. Never. I didn't claim to know. Seems like one of those guys that. He's just a coach.
It's almost like a Saban like cannot envision himself living a life that is not filled with like the daily
recruiting.
Mundane misery of being a college football coach. The man might not have a soul, except for that one.
That's a little harsh.
Except for those few brief seconds where you saw him smile and throw his hands up in the national title game.
It is the happiest day of his life.
The man is a father of how many kids and a grandfather of how many more. This is the happiest day of my life. Nothing is better.
Poor Saban. 865-546-8200. Take a quick break. Overtime continues on the other side. And you hear what's that new breed? 618 back on overtime. John Sparks tweets in that Chris Winkie played for the KJs before going to Florida State. Knoxville Blue Jays.
He was an old man when he won that Heisman.
Yeah.
After going through the
Blue Jays
system.
I knew he played baseball
before
college. I did not know he played in Knoxville.
Spent 6 years in the Blue Jays farm system. Can never crack the main roster.
But yeah, he was like 28 when he won that Heisman.
He must have got to AAA and then just couldn't make it. If you get stuck in AAA, you're never going to make it.
That might be Tim Tebow's problem eventually.
if he can ever make it to AAA.
I mean, that's your Mets, by the way. Do you want to see Tebow up on get called up? You don't?
No.
Even though it will bring all the publicity and all the attention.
I don't need publicity and attention. No, thank you. I don't want to.
What if he helps you win?
I mean, if he helps you win, yeah, but he's not going to. What does Tim Tebow bring to the diamond?
I mean, I'm just asking you as a Mets fan.
No, I do. I want no part
of Tim Tebow. I'm not up here like, you know, praising Tebow. I'm just asking you.
No, okay. I don't want to.
Making sure.
Winky, oldest Heisman winner ever, but probably could have guessed that.
I wonder who comes close. I wonder who's the second oldest.
I don't know. Who is the...
The last really old quarterback I can think of.
Brandon
that, like,
Whedon.
Was Whedon, yeah.
He came close to winning.
He had Heisman talk. Was he a finalist? Did he get invited?
I'm not sure.
Because I know his big year was 2011. I don't know.
I mean, Winky's the oldest by like 5 years. Billy Sims, 1978, second oldest, who's 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be hard to talk Winky.
Speaking of baseball, though, the Vols in action tomorrow. Get the season underway against Maryland. You excited to kick off the Tony Vitello era?
Woo.
They're fun to go to. I'll go out to a couple baseball games this year.
But are you excited? Are you ready? Are you ready to kick off the era of Vitello?
Sure.
Dilly dilly.
You don't sound excited. You don't sound excited.
How excited do you get for Tennessee baseball?
Not very.
Okay, well, there we go. We're on the same page.
I don't know.
I will consider going to a couple of games when, like, I don't really have nothing to do over the weekend and it's nice weather. I might go out and watch them. He did bring in a pretty good recruiting class. But it's going to be hard for me to, like, get a big excitement level over Tennessee baseball until, like, they start actually, like, doing good.
SEC's on a consistent basis. Just too good,
picked
man.
Last in the SEC. Nowhere to go but up. Nowhere to go but up.
It's just too good. I mean, the SEC in baseball is better than any other conference in any other sport.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, who's bad at baseball in the SEC? You can't tell me a team.
I think
maybe Missouri.
Well, Tennessee was bad last year.
I mean, yeah, Tennessee.
Well, obviously,
I think
Tennessee.
Georgia had a pretty bad year last year, and Tennessee still lost a series or two to them. But Tennessee did go down and beat Florida on the road. Pretty sure they won a series against Florida.
That was a fluke.
In Gainesville. I know. It was crazy. I mean, Florida won the national championship last year.
Tony Vitello.
I mean, the SEC is just...
I would like for Tennessee baseball to be good. I think that give you something to do once basketball ends. And, you know, another sport to root for, too. But it's just, a big problem here, as far as the baseball program is concerned, is not only do you have to have a team that gets back to winning ways, at least, you know, consistently, okay, is a threat to make the postseason about every year. Until you get to that, you also need to improve facilities, too. Like, not just Lindsey Nelson Stadium, like the practice facilities and everything, too. If you talk to anyone else from, like, you know, that follows SEC baseball, they'll say, okay, all these other teams have a lot better facilities. They have a much bigger commitment to baseball. And that's something you really have not seen out of this athletic department in a long time. I don't even know how committed they were to baseball when they were winning.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure.
Lindsey Nelson's not even that nice of a stadium, I feel like.
It's very small.
It's a little mediocre. Yeah, I've worked a few games. It's mediocre.
Like, there's no shade.
Have y'all ever seen a baseball game at Ole Miss or Mississippi State?
No, but I do. I mean, Ole Miss, obviously, probably the best baseball atmosphere in the SEC.
Yeah, it's a much more, you know, catered to fans experience. Mississippi State, I think they're either building a new stadium or they're building onto their current stadium to make it absolutely huge.
I mean, you're never going to get to the point where Tennessee is investing as much in baseball as Ole Miss or as Vanderbilt. I mean, football is first, basketball is second, and baseball is always going to be third. That's always how it's going to be for Tennessee. It doesn't mean that they can't be good. We've seen them have success, but 5 out of the top 10 teams in the SEC or in the nation are SEC teams. 3 more in the top 25. I mean, when half the top 10 is your conference and you're a bottom feeder like you have been in the last couple seasons, I mean, it takes a pretty big rebuilding effort to get to the top. And is the school that invested to make that happen?
I don't know. I know there's – this might have been last year, maybe a couple of years ago, some talk about the Smokies possibly moving back to Knoxville.
Investment in a new downtown stadium.
A new downtown stadium. I could get behind that. Go to a game downtown, and why couldn't the University of Tennessee – share that stadium with a minor league team? I think that'd be nice. I think you get a lot more attract a lot more people to games.
You have a rejuvenated interest in baseball too, especially. I mean, if you move the minor league team back here, new stadium. I mean, that's just going to attract people in itself. You know, why not throw the college team into that same space too?
Yeah, I think you got to start winning first before you do anything like that, though.
I mean, it'd be a few years off, because I think the Smokies are still locked into the Smoky Stadium out in Kodak for at least a few more years. So, I don't know. We'll see.
See how Vitello does.
I'm all for a downtown stadium, though.
Same.
Bring it to me. Tennessee goes to Georgia in basketball on Saturday. Georgia with a nice win over Florida last night. Did not see that one coming. I thought Georgia could hang around with Florida last night, at least for a little bit. And they hung around far longer than I thought they did, and eventually won the game. I did not see that one coming.
I didn't even know they won that game until this morning. Because I saw
a
score.
Watch it?
I saw a score. And I was watching. I forgot what other games I was watching. I know I was watching. Late last night, I was watching Warriors Blazers. So I wouldn't even pay attention to any of the other college scores. I saw an update while the game was still in progress in the first half, and Florida had a pretty decent lead.
And that
then
was,
I saw Georgia forced overtime and came away with a victory.
And that was at Florida, right?
Yeah. It was a wild game. I mean, it was insane.
So that's always good to see Georgia cranking it up right before Tennessee rolls into town.
Oh, perfect. Absolutely perfect. Mark Fox trying to do anything he can to save his job.
And save that perfect record against Rick Barnes. It's a shame. I was hoping Georgia might get – I mean, they did Tennessee a favor in – now Tennessee is alone in second place in the SEC. They were tied with Florida. Now Tennessee alone in second, but you got to take care of business down in Stegman on Saturday. I think that game sold out. Another raucous crowd you're going to on the road in a place where Tennessee doesn't win.
I don't understand. Why is anyone getting excited over Georgia basketball? There's nothing to be excited down there. You still have a losing record in the conference.
I mean,
that makes me mad.
We were writing them off yesterday on here, and I mean. So one of you guys said
Brandon, especially
NIT wasn't even a possibility. They're 14-11 here. If they get a win against Tennessee on Saturday, they're in the tournament discussion. Whether you like it or not, they are.
The NCAA tournament?
Yes.
No.
They have a lot of work to do.
At
in conference, 15, though.
You're saying if they win against Tennessee at 15-11, they're in the bubble.
They have
They've got a long way to go. They've got a long way to go. They're like 4-8, aren't they? Maybe 5-8 They're 5-8. That's I don't think they're getting in.
They could still definitely improve as the season ends.
Okay, I'll take back what I said last night. NIT definitely a possibility.
You get that win against Tennessee on Saturday. They play South Carolina on Wednesday. Then LSU at home that next Saturday. You go 3-0.
Who is the one between Tennessee and LSU?
South Carolina.
At South Carolina. Or
yes, at South Carolina. Not an easy road game, but you win those three, you're 17-11. Don't tell me that they're not in the NCAA discussion. No, I think they would be.
Mark Fox is a loser and a clown. I'm not sure who they've played this year, but I don't think they have any really quality wins, especially in the non-conference. I think they beat St. Mary's before St. Mary's kind of went on a roll. Are we really worried about Georgia now?
It's an SEC road game, and they're coming off of a huge road win against Florida. Yeah, we are.
I mean, I was going to be skeptical either way, whether or not they lost last night. just because you do have to go on the road. And there are some concerns about our own team that we have to address. But no, just because they went into Gainesville and won, I mean, I'm not going to be too much extra scared about it. Florida's been a very inconsistent team this year, too. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that they dropped that one.
I don't want to have to worry about a Mark Fox-coached Georgia team. Mark Fox.
I mean, we're going to have to. We're going to have to beat them. Eventually.
What are you talking about? Did you think that this was going to be just – what have we been saying all season? The SEC this season.
I think Brandon just really hates Mark Fox.
You were down
this
10 on the road to Vanderbilt. There's no such thing as an easy road win this season. You've been way too passive about this Georgia game. I've said they're going to give them some trouble. They had a bad couple games. They lost to Vandy. Vandy sucks. We get it. Vandy had a big win.
Not only did they lose to Vandy,
they got their eyes drilled shut by
Vanderbilt.
But it's also a team that blew out Alabama on their home court, beat Florida on the road. I don't understand how you've just been writing them off. We've been saying it all year. There's no easy road game in the SEC. Doesn't matter who you play. Doesn't matter if you play Vanderbilt. We even talk about that road game against Ole Miss being tough because you got the one against Mississippi State coming up right after it. Why is Georgia going to be an easy one?
Because they suck.
So does Vanderbilt.
They lost to San Diego State. They lost to UMass.
Alabama lost some bad teams, too.
Yeah. Alabama lost to UCF and blew out Tennessee on their home court.
I'm just saying there's a little bit of a difference between Mark Fox and Avery Johnson.
Yeah,
Avery Johnson has been to an NBA Finals. What's Mark Fox ever done?
Apples to oranges, man.
How? How is that apples to oranges?
They have nothing to do with the whole point is Georgia's not going to be an easy game to win on the road. And it shouldn't be. It's an SEC road game in this season where we won't shut up about how good the SEC is top to bottom. And now you're having this difficulty with dealing with the fact that going to Georgia and winning is not going to be that easy. You struggled to win at Vanderbilt. You were down 10 at half. Why is Georgia going to be any different? Because Mark Fox is their coach?
I think Brandon just hates to admit the fact that it will be a tough game.
Yeah, I think so too.
It shouldn't be a tough game.
Well, it's going to be. Deal with it.
865-546-8200. Take a quick break. More of Overtime on the other side. 865-546-8200 is our number if you want to join us. Let's go to the phones and talk to Roger. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. How you doing tonight?
Doing good, Raj.
Doing good. Cool. Cool. I just wanted to ask y'all. Few questions. The first question I want to ask you is, man, that was good about you all, about Tennessee, but the seating wise. That's why I ask you is, what has to happen for Tennessee to get them a number one seed, a two seed? Is there any way that I'm not getting wrong? It's great to see have Tennessee have a great. A third seed or fourth, but I'm just curious about what Tennessee have to do to be able to get a one seed or two seed? You think is that possible? What has to happen?
If they want to get a one seed, yeah. They're going to have some help. Some teams are going to have to lose. Your Purdue's, your Villanova's, your Virginia's, they're going to have to lose, and Tennessee, would have to win out and win the SEC tournament, I think, to get a one. To get a two. I think they also need a little bit of help, probably less help than they need to get a one. And I think you could maybe drop one game and still – you'd probably only have to be able to drop one game, I think.
Okay. What do you think would be the best thing for you – for you all, Tennessee-wise, fan-wise, what's the best thing you think it would be if it's not that?
I think they – they may be able to play their way to a two. I doubt it. I think they can definitely play their way into a three, and I think the three is perfect. I want to get off the 4-5 line to avoid the matchup with the one in the second round, most likely. So I'd really like to get up to that three line.
Okay. I'm just curious about that. I thought about that. I'm just curious about that seating wise. What you think? You think everybody be happy if we get a how many games do you think Tennessee boys went out? How many games do you think is possible for them to win out? You think how many games think left? You think they could win out? You think boys win rest games? I know you got some left. How many you think that they can win out? Win boys the rest of the season? You think how many think they can win?
Let's see. They go to Georgia. I think they should be able to win that one pretty easily. But these guys think Georgia's going to be pretty tough, so I'll side with them. That's a toss-up. I think you should beat Georgia at home. You should beat Ole Miss on the road. I think you lose to, at Mississippi State. I think you beat Georgia at home. So I see you dropping one, maybe two more in the regular season.
Okay. As far as Auburn wise, I know Tennessee is behind Auburn, but they're close though. What has to happen for Tennessee to be able to have a tiebreaker with them? What has to happen? Tennessee and Auburn, real good team right now. They're a real good team. What has to happen? What would Tennessee be able to at least tie it up? You know what I'm saying? Is that possible? It could be possible for them to tie it up, maybe.
It's possible. But, Tennessee's still two games back of Auburn now, and I think to catch Auburn, you're going to have to win out, and Auburn's going to have to slip up, and I just don't see it happening. I don't think you can catch Auburn.
Okay. I was just curious about that, but that's all I have. And y'all have a good night, okay? Good night.
Hey, you too, Roger. Appreciate the phone call, buddy. 865-546-8200 is our number. Auburn takes care of Kentucky down on the plains last night. Kentucky, 4 straight losses.
And Kentucky looked like they were trying to play like a team most people thought they were supposed to look like at some points in that game. Second half, they came back to the lead. I thought it was going to be, you know, neck and neck to the very end, but they just ended up doing too many mistakes. Too much stupid is what they did. And their inability to do a lot of things well this season, once again, it's costed them in a game where they very well had chances to win, and Auburn took care of it. And Kentucky's still on the downslide. I think they were projected as an 8 or 9 seed today by Lenardi.
Yeah, I think it was a 9.
Yeah, and just like a couple weeks ago, they were right up with us about a 4 seed.
And it does not get any easier.
No, it doesn't.
For Kentucky. I mean, you got Alabama at home on Saturday. Alabama playing really well right now. You're on the road to Arkansas on Tuesday. And the more these losses pile up, the more likely you are to lose that next game. I mean, I see one guaranteed win for Kentucky to finish out this season when they got Ole Miss at home in a couple weeks. But other than that, Alabama, Arkansas on the road, Mizzou is hot. And you got to finish out the year on the road to Florida. I could definitely see this Kentucky team finishing, what is it, 18 and 13.
Yeah, this could very well be BBNIT part two.
Squarely on the bubble.
It could very well happen.
And this team, you can't really compare this team too, because Cal – what was the year, the NIT year for?
That was 2012-2013. Now they had the legitimate reason of their best player going down. That's when Nerlens Noel went down the knee injury, well, and team, they collapsed.
Well, I mean, that team lost a lot of players because they weren't they the defending national champions, right? So that team had already lost a lot of players. They weren't as stock full. They had a great recruiting class coming in, but kind of a little gap in talent that year. And like you said, your best player, top draft pick, Nerlens Noel, down with the season-ending injury. That season could have been forgiven for Cal. This team is not like that. This team, not as loaded as a lot of Kentucky teams we've seen, but you've still got 3 or 4 5 stars most of the time on the court.
They were supposed to have plenty enough talent to be in like the top four at worst in this conference, be a solid NCAA tournament team. And both of those are in serious jeopardy.
Yeah, and Cal's attributed to that. I mean, with that 2012 season, you saw a lot of, well, they're young, you know, they're still getting to know each other, all that. What Cal says about this team, I think he said it after the game last night, he said, they don't trust each other, and they don't trust me, and that's my fault. He's directly addressing, I mean, there's some issues in that locker room.
And Cal is hearing it from the Reds, from the Big Blue Faithful up there.
The coal miners,
man. From all corners of the Bluegrass State, he is hearing it. They are panicking up there. They don't know what to do. This is by far probably the worst. This is at least the second worst team he's had. Worst team since the NIT team. They don't know how to handle it.
Any scenario you see Kentucky playing on the opening night of the SEC tournament?
For it to be opening night, they would have to be what seed?
A 10. They would have to be the 10th team in the SEC.
Oh, I don't,
not impossible.
No, I mean,
no, it's not, their schedule.
It's not impossible. I don't see it getting that bad. They might get a scare, though.
I think Vandy, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, I think those teams for sure
bottom three
are the bottom three. Georgia and LSU are the only two teams separating Kentucky from that 10th slot.
I mean, it could very well happen.
I could see it. I mean, look at the schedule. If what we think is going to happen, I think they're going to go 1-4 to finish the year.
I mean, they've lost four now. Who's to say it won't continue? Because no one thought they were – oh, they're not going to lose you know, back-to-back, especially after that comeback against West Virginia that had that gutty win against Vanderbilt that they should have very well lost, but they found a way to win. And most people thought, okay, this team's finally finding their stride right now. They're just going to be a tough team for anybody to be on any given night. They're never going to say die. And, oh, boy, have they died the last four games.
And LSU and Georgia only one game back of Kentucky. Tough times. Tough times for the Big Blue Nation.
If they're playing that opening night in St. Louis, I'm not going to feel bad for them, that's for sure. It will be a welcome sight.
865-546-8200 is our number. Take a quick break. Final segment of hour number one coming up right after this. Was this song on Guitar Hero?
It was probably on one of them. Probably Rock Band. Lucas is the Rock Band player.
Lucas,
you
you're
know.
The Rock Band guru.
I don't recognize this song. I didn't play as much Guitar Hero, though, because I've never
like
been
this,
good on the guitar.
I feel like this song's on Guitar Hero.
Beast in the Harlot was on Guitar Hero, too. That's the Avenged Sevenfold song you're thinking about.
I think that's on Rock Band, too. Beast in the Harlot. It's impossible.
What do you mean by it's impossible? Like, to complete it or to do it?
Just sheer difficulty. I've never been good at guitar, ever. I mean, for some reason, my fingers don't move that way. So I'm on the drum. So
it's definitely not Through the Fire and the Flames bad, though.
Oh, yeah.
Worst of all time.
Some sad news. This is just terrible. This is not what the Olympics is about. This is not the Olympic spirit. The Jamaican's women's bobsled coach has quit, and she is threatening to take the team's sled. The head coach has quit days before the competition is set to get underway. Coach Sandra, this is a doozy, Kyriassis left the team after claiming the Jamaican Bobsled Federation forced her to change roles from driving coach to track performance analyst, which would have taken away access to the Jamaican athletes. According to the BBC, the first to report the story, the coach claims ownership of the team's sled and is threatened to take it with her. The sled situation is currently up in the air despite the Jamaican Bobsled Federation denying that the team will be forced to pull out of the event. This puts a huge wrench in the plans of the Jamaican's women's bobsled team, which made history by becoming the first women's team from the country to go to the Olympics.
So she's holding it hostage? Is that what's happening?
She's threatening to. She is threatening it.
Is it her sled?
She's claiming ownership of the sled. It's like a...
Oh, what do you do?
It's a dispute.
It's a take your ball and go home situation.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Do you promote her back to driving coach?
Is that what she's upset about? She lost?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought she just quit for some reason. But did she get fired?
She got demoted. Let's see. After the Jamaican Bob... She left the team. She quit after claiming that the Jamaican Bobsled Federation forced her to change roles from driving coach, which I assume is like head coach, to track performance analyst. So she got demoted.
Oh, an analyst role. She didn't even get a headset. She's got just X's and O's. She doesn't want to be X's and O's. She wants to be in the action.
So she's threatening to take the sled. I mean, what do you do? What do you do if you're the Jamaican Bobsled Federation?
Do they provide sleds? The Olympic Committee or whatever
happens? No, you have to bring your own sleds.
BYOS?
Yeah. Bring your own sled. And these things have to get shipped. You can't just fly them on a plane. They have to get shipped across the ocean. It take forever.
When is the competition?
I mean, it's just... I'm not sure exactly when, but the article says it's just a few days before the bobsled competition.
I don't know what you do.
You can't just fold in the Olympics. You can't just say, no, we can't. We demoted somebody and she's threatening to take the sled,
This is the first time that the women's team from Jamaica has ever made it.
Yeah.
You can't just pull out.
And history.
Everybody, I feel like everyone's going to pay attention, right, to the Jamaican bobsled team. Ever since Cool Runnings came out, people want to... Did the men make it too?
I'm not sure.
Cool Runnings made Jamaican bobsledding cool.
I think you have to reinstate the coach. You have to get the sled. You can't just fold in the Olympics.
Oh man. What a storyline.
You can't let one person ruin the dreams of an entire country.
No, you can't. Has anything like this happened before? Anything even close?
I don't know. This is unprecedented. Because
this is like so bizarre, and you pick the Olympics of all events to try to pull this at.
Well, I guess the real question is, why was she being demoted? Why was she demoted from driving coach to track performance analyst?
Well, the president of the JBSF, the Jamaican Bobsled Federation, of course, said that she was a hugely destructive force on the team.
Mm.
And then she...
Well, how destructive could she be? They made the Olympics.
She went on... Her name is Kariasis. It is Sandra Kariasis. Don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. She went on Facebook and said she didn't understand the reasons behind
the
decision and will certainly not allow herself to be used as a puppet on a string. Those are her words.
You tell them, Sandra.
And she confirms that she rented the bobsled in Germany. And so I guess it's her bobsled. But yeah, now they're saying she's threatening to take it home.
So it is her bobsled. You can't fire her then. You can't let her walk. You've got to reinstate her.
She has the leverage.
She does. And if you're the JBSF.
Well.
You have to reinstate her.
JBSF media manager Kathleen Pulito said, and this is from CNN, that she would not be replaced during the games and added that, quote, many nations have offered assistance or coaching staff and any equipment we may need in case an issue should arise.
So, no, you can't just use another country's bobsled.
Well, I know. Isn't the sled important? Don't they practice in the same sled? It would ruin the whole thing. But it's good to know there's other countries providing sleds.
No, I will not allow this. I will not allow the Jamaican team to use another country's sled. That's
Well, even if the other countries want to donate and help.
So they just have a spare sled?
I don't know. I mean, they said they'd be willing to help.
It's probably junky, tore up.
So here you go. We're helping. Good luck. Try not to disintegrate.
I love the bobsled. It's a great event. It's one of the few Winter Olympic sports that I really like. Do you consider it a sport, though? Is the bobsled a sport?
If it's in the Olympics, it's a sport.
Yeah, if it's in the Olympics, it's definitely considered a sport by those standards, which are pretty fairly high standards, I would say.
And but I feel like you just hop in.
I don't think you just hop in and go.
Brandon,
there's some training. That thing could go flying off.
Look, we have to take it back to the whole curling argument, though. If curling was so easy, why isn't everybody doing curling? It's the same goes for bobsled.
I'm just saying.
Brandon, could you hop in the bobsled and think you wouldn't die?
Probably not.
Okay. You answered your question.
I'd be terrified.
Exactly. Leave it to the pros.
Give me a trained professional and I'll hop in. Give me somebody who knows what they're doing. Hour number two of overtime coming up right after this.